Romans chapter 3. Our sermon text will be verses 21 to 31, but just to give us an idea of the context, I'm going to back up to verse 9 and read from there. But our sermon text, again, will be verse 21 through 31. But I'll be reading from Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. This is the word of God. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By law of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one, He will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Amen. Let's pray. Our just and merciful Father, we thank You so much for the privilege of hearing Your word. We ask that You would send Your Spirit to our hearts to make Christ present to us through the preaching of Your word. And we ask, Father, that You would open our hearts that we might understand, that You would open our eyes that we might see, and open our ears that we might hear, that we might turn and be healed. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, have you ever met someone who was very proud of their piety? Some people boast about their piety, saying things like, "Well, I've never gotten drunk my whole life," or, "I don't smoke, never have, never will, I never lie," or, "My spouse and I were both virgins when we were married," or perhaps they say, "I don't understand why anyone would ever take drugs. That's so stupid. How could anyone be that stupid?" Or, "How could anyone ever become an alcoholic or a homosexual?" Translation: I'm holier than those people. I would never do that. Judging others is just another way of boasting in your own righteousness, isn't it? Well, our passage that we read this morning is a strong antidote to such boasting. In fact, the point of the passage is this: since we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ apart from works, we have no reason to boast whatsoever. I'll say it again. Since we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ apart from works, we have no reason whatsoever to boast. And so to see that this is the point of our passage tonight, we'll have 3 points. First, a gracious gift. Second, just justifier. And third, excluded boasting. So let's begin then by looking at the gracious gift described in our passage. So what do we have to do to get to heaven? Well, Scripture says again and again and again, in order to get to heaven, you must obey the law perfectly your whole life. Perfectly? Really? Yes, you cannot mess up even one time. James 2:10 says this: for whoever keeps the law, the whole law, but fails in just one point, has become accountable for all of it. One tiny little infraction makes you guilty of breaking the entire law. In our passage, the same thing is said in different words. Paul says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one keeps the law perfectly, not even one. Thus, in verse 20, it says, by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. So the point is this: is it possible to do what we have to do in order to get to heaven? Is this possible? No. No, it's not. We can never be righteous enough, never be pure enough, never obey our parents well enough, never worship God purely enough, never love our neighbor enough. We can never be holy enough to get to heaven based on our own holiness. There is, in short, no hope in our works, no hope in the law, only condemnation. But now there's a new kind of righteousness, says Paul. This righteousness has nothing to do with what you do. This righteousness is apart from your efforts to keep the law. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't find it in some faraway land. This righteousness is God's own righteousness. As he says in verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You can never be good enough to get to heaven on your own, but God can take his own righteousness and give it to you. How? As it says, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Just believe in Jesus Christ, and God will take his own righteousness and cover you with it. This is what it means to be justified by faith. When you see the word or hear the word justified, think, just as if I'd obeyed the law perfectly my whole life. And we are justified by faith alone. Here, friends, is the gracious gift of God, the gift of perfect righteousness by faith alone. On Judgment Day, you will not be condemned for your sin. you will be rewarded for God's own righteousness that covers you like a garment. This is how God justifies sinners. And this is our great hope as Christians, at the very heart of what we believe. But if God justifies sinners in this way, what about his justice? So we turn now to our second point, the just justifier. Now, human judges can uphold justice or they can uphold mercy. If they uphold justice, the crime is punished. If they uphold mercy, the crime is not punished. If they uphold justice, there's no mercy. If they hold mercy, there's no justice. But not so with God. God justly justifies sinners. God justly justifies sinners. How? The answer is found in Jesus Christ. Verses 24 and 25, he says, "We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith." You see, the gracious gift of righteousness is free to us, but it's not free to God. God paid dearly in order to give us this gift. When it says he redeemed us, it means he purchased us from slavery. Paul will go on to unfold that it's slavery to sin and death that God has purchased us from. And the price that he paid is the very life of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, very God of very God, his life in exchange for ours. God is just. Our sins must be punished. Yet we are not punished, but rather rewarded. Again, it's that gracious gift of righteousness for which we're rewarded. But someone still had to be punished for our crimes in order to uphold justice. Enter Jesus Christ. That's why Paul calls him the propitiation. The word propitiation is a big fancy word, but it means wrath bearer. It means that the wrath of God due to our sin was poured out on Christ. Not on us, but on Christ. So the shedding of his blood was the punishment for our sins. Christ then was punished for our disobedience, and we are rewarded for his obedience, the righteousness of God given to us as a gift. So then why the cross of Christ? As it says in verse 26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You see, God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. He has made a way for sinners who've broken the law to be justified justly, just as if I'd kept the law perfectly my whole life, even though I haven't, even though I'm a sinner. Mercy and justice are reconciled at last. As the psalmist says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. So let's praise him for his mercy toward us in Jesus Christ. Praise him for his justice that will not be denied. This again is at the very heart of what we believe. Here is our reason for hope, for joy, our reason for gratitude toward God. This is why we praise him as our Savior. But if this is how we are saved, friends, where is the reason for boasting? Our final point is then excluded boasting. Where is the reason for boasting? How can we pat ourselves on our back for our piety? Our righteousness is as filthy rags, Scripture says. When we boast in our own righteousness, don't we dishonor Christ and His sacrifice? Aren't we sort of saying that we don't really need it? How can we confess our need for Christ on the one hand and boast in our own righteousness on the other? This makes no sense. If you struggle with pride, as pretty much all of us do, look then to the cross. We deserve to be crucified for our sins, no matter how small those sins might appear. That has to produce humility in us, doesn't it? How could it not? As prideful sinners, we know this, which is why this is so hard to accept. So we run from it, as we heard this morning. We find reasons to deny it. And so some people object to this justification by faith alone. Some people object to it, saying, oh, you're just throwing out the law altogether. You're saying we don't have to obey at all. Paul anticipates this very objection in the final verse of our passage. He says in verse 31, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Justification by faith alone is actually the only way to really uphold the law. You see, if you tell sinners that they have to obey the law in order to earn their place in heaven, then it's only of necessity, it's only imperfect obedience, not perfect law keeping. Because again, these are sinners we're talking about. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you tell these sinners who have broken the law that they have to obey to get to heaven, it's necessarily imperfect obedience you're talking about, isn't it? This waters down the law. It lowers the bar. It implies that on judgment day, God will say, good enough. Come on in. Why not? The law demands perfect obedience in thought, word, and deed. None of us sinners are capable of that. One stray thought is all it takes. So the only way to confess to uphold the law is to confess our sins, to admit that we need Christ to keep the law for us. This is the only way to obtain the mercy of God on the one hand, while also upholding His justice on the other. So does this mean that we don't have to obey the law? No, we do need to obey the law. But we obey out of gratitude for the salvation already given to us in Christ. This obedience is not to earn salvation, but to express gratitude for salvation already given. As Paul says elsewhere, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are saved by grace in order that we might walk in good works. And in so doing, we bring glory and honor to God, bearing witness to all that He has done for us in Jesus Christ. This is what we're saved for. So let's not boast in our piety. Let's not boast in our small little righteousness that we have. But let's rather boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.